Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Our show tonight is Hercules and the Space Gods. Hercules and the Space Gods is a voyage of discovery that is currently unfolding through our podcast, select chapters in paranormal anthologies, a variety of live and now Zoom events, and several articles published in various magazines over the past few years. Hercules and the Space Gods, like all our initiatives, supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you Nick Curto and Mary Jo Fahey. Nick Curto and Mary Jo Fahey are co-founders of Disclosure Network New York, and they are co-hosts on Nick Curto Presents Connecting the Dots with Mary Jo Fahey. Greetings and welcome, Nick and Mary Jo.
Hello.
Hi, great to be with you guys. Really good.
It's great to have you here. And I must say I'm very impressed with the topic that you guys have prepared for tonight. It's very near and dear to my heart as I'm a descendant of Amazons and Argonauts. And it plays a very large role in my personal mythology. So I'll just step back. If you need me, I'm here.
Great. So Mary Jo, tell us more.
Well, Hercules, when we joined you on your Space Gods podcast in May, we talked about Jason and the Argonauts.
Yes.
And after the show, I remembered seeing the word, or the Greek word, argon, on a site called academickids.com in connection to Aleister Crowley's organization called Argentium Astrum, which mm-hmm. the site says is Latin for silver star. Aleister Crowley and the Extraterrestrial Council of Nine was the topic for our September 2020 Connecting the Dots podcast. The academickids.com site also explains that Astron Argon is Greek for silver star. Crowley's organization, Argentium Astrum, abbreviated with two capital A's, was a magical order he created after leaving the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. Sirius is the silver star. Clues about Sirius are mostly hidden. I thought that since we now know that Astron Argon is Greek for silver star, we have an opportunity to cover other evidence concerning the existence of Sirians and Sirius. Occasionally, when I mention Sirius or Sirians, someone asks me if I'm referring to Syria, the country in the Middle East. In our May Connecting the Dots podcast, I mentioned the Sirians from the star constellation Sirius and web radio show personality Raylan Allen, who hosts a show called Rumorville News. In 2010, she interviewed author Alfred Labermant Weber, who wrote a book called Exopolitics. The title of Raylan's show refers to Syrian lion beings who are described in the interview as having settled Earth. Most people are aware of the preponderance of lion images and statues all over the planet. They're particularly dense in London and on European coats of arms. In the same May podcast, because so few people have heard of Sirius, I inserted information about author Drunvalo Melchizedek's book, The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life, and a section called My 3 Days in Space. He describes Sirians as the most advanced race. He says they've become addicted to their technology and have lost their connection to God. Drunvalo's books spans 2 volumes, and PDF versions are available online. The section about Sirians is in Volume 2. Lynn Picknitt's and Clive Prince's book, The Stargate Conspiracy, mentions author Robert Temple's The Sirius Mystery. They explain Temple's fascination with Africa's Dagon tribe and the trouble he had with the CIA and Britain's MI5, who he feels tried to suppress the information. Hercules, in our May podcast, you mentioned that Jason and the Argonauts had a connection to Africa's Dagon tribe.
Yeah.
I'd like to relay what I know about the Dagon.
Awesome.
Robert Temple was targeted by the CIA and Britain's MI5, an abbreviation for Military Intelligence Section 5, due to the advanced astronomy that was known by the Dagon. Their oral history says that a race of aquatic space beings landed on Earth thousands of years ago. The Dagon called them Nomos, who included Enki and 50 others. The Dagon also describe seven secret chiefs who rule Earth. Aleister Crowley belonged to a hermetic lodge known as the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn before he formed Argentian Astrum. I have read that members of the order communicated with seven secret chiefs. However, I have not read that Crowley was one of the group who communicated. He did use a seven-pointed star for his organization that I've added to the show notes. The first edition of Robert Temple's book, The Sirius Mystery, is available as a PDF file online. The book was republished by New Age publisher Inner Traditions, and the content changed. Hercules, when you mentioned a connection between Argonauts and Africa's Dagon tribe, I took a look at Robert Temple's book because I read it many years ago. In the acknowledgments, Temple mentions that he had as a friend named Arthur M. Young of Philadelphia, who gave him a copy of a book called Conversations with Ogo Tomeli, published in 1947, written by Marcel Griol and Germaine Dieterlin. Griol and Dieterlin studied the Dagon from 1931 to 1956 and spent a month interviewing the tribe's oral historian, which is Ogo Tomeli. The tribe's oral history spanned thousands of years. What intrigued Temple the most was the tribe's advanced astronomical knowledge. I do want to note that the Dagon lived near ancient Egypt when the aquatic beings landed, and they later moved to West Africa. They understand the brightest star in the sky is Sirius, now called Sirius A by modern astronomers. Sirius A has two companion stars called Sirius B and Sirius C, which are modern terms. Sirius B was accidentally discovered in 1862. According to Temple, the Dagon consider Sirius B to be the most important star in the sky. Sirius A forms the center of an orbit for Sirius B. The Dagon did not speak about Sirius C. When Sirius B is closest to Sirius, the star brightens, and when it is farthest, it gives off a twinkling effect, suggesting several stars. Sirius B's orbit cycle takes 50 years. Now, that information is what the Dagon understood, which is quite amazing. When I took a recent look at the PDF copy of Temple's book, I did a search on the word argon, and found Temple using the word Argo in reference to a constellation named Argo and Jason's ship with 50 Argonauts.
Yes.
Temple helps his readers understand the locations of the Sirius constellation and the Argo constellation by referring to what he calls a remarkable book, Star Names, Their Lore and Meaning, by Richard Hinckley Allen. Temple says that Sirius is the head of Canis Major, the big dog, and the triangle of stars below Sirius is the dog's hind legs. To the left of Canis Major and extending south is a sweep of stars that now make up the constellation Puppis the Stern. He says, as you probably guessed from the name, Puppis is the stern of the great ship Argo Navis, which I guess was Jason's ship. An author named Guy Consolmagno, a Jesuit, who has been the director of the Vatican's observatory in Arizona for more than 20 years, wrote a book called Turn Left at Orion. The book, now in its fourth edition, appears to be an astronomy textbook. The book is also available as a PDF file online. On page 38 in Guy's book, he says, the three stars in Orion's belt pointing down and to the left to a dazzling blue star, Sirius, rising in the southeast. The star is, in fact, the brightest star in the sky and belongs to the constellation Canis Major, Latin for big dog. Hence, it's often called the dog star. The title of Guy Consol Magno's book appears to be a reference to Sirius. The phys.org site describes the position of Sirius as left and below Orion. The site's authors say Sirius is the brightest star in the sky and can easily be found in the faint constellation of Canis Major to the left and below Orion. Its name comes from ancient Greek meaning glowing or scorcher. The Vatican's observatory is nicknamed VAT, V-A-T-T, short for Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope. VAT is part of the Mount Graham International Observatory and is operated by the Vatican, one of the oldest astronomical research institutions in the world, in partnership with the University of Arizona. Visits to the observatory are by appointments. In 1998, actor Jim Carrey appeared in a film called The Truman Show. He plays Truman Burbank, who lives on a TV set but does not know it. Near the beginning of the film, Truman is leaving his house and a stage light falls from the sky. When he gets close, he sees it is labeled Sirius and then parentheses 9 Canis Major. A clip of this scene is available on YouTube. You can Google Good Afternoon, Good Evening, and Good Night, The Truman Show. And the title is in the show notes. I mentioned The Truman Show in our August 2020 Connecting the Dots podcast, but the clip had a different title. The clip I mentioned in August was deleted. There is an Egyptian obelisk in New York's Central Park built by Pharaoh Moses III, who commissioned the obelisk for Heliopolis in 1450 BC. The obelisk is nicknamed Cleopatra's Needle, and it was installed in the park next to the Metropolitan Museum of Art on January 22, 1881. A parade of 9,000 Freemasons marched up Fifth Avenue for the laying of the cornerstone. There are bronze crabs at the base that the Romans added as supports. People who follow astrology know that the crab is the symbol for Cancer. Each sign of the zodiac is divided into three decans, or divisions, of 10 degrees each. Sirius is in the constellation called Canis Major, but it is also part of the zodiac's Cancer constellation, second decan. Its zodiac position is 14 degrees Cancer. I don't really understand this, but there's enough to confirm the meaning of the crabs. The June 2011
Empress the crab. She was Carcinos was a crab that Hera sent to torment Hercules when he fought the Hydra.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I don't know why they put the crab in. Anyway, that's some obscure myths. I'm not going to get into it now. I'll let you get back to your presentation. Sorry.
Oh, okay. The June 2011 edition of National Geographic cover feature titled Birth of Religion by Charles Mann is about an archaeological site in southeast Turkey called Göbekli Tepe that is 7,000 years older than Stonehenge and much more sophisticated. A German archaeologist named Klaus Schmidt rediscovered the site in the 1990s. It was originally thought to be Byzantine. He died mysteriously in 2014. At the time of the National Geographic interview, Klaus told Charles Mann that only 1/50th of the site had been excavated. In March 2018, a disturbing news article appeared on the Ancient Origins website. The article says that concrete was being poured at Göbekli Tepe. To find the article, listeners can Google Ancient Origins Göbekli Tepe Concrete. In the National Geographic article, writer Charles Mann does not mention Sirius or Syrians. However, I found bloggers, or six of them actually, who wrote posts that say Göbekli Tepe is an ancient site built to honor the Dog Star. The most famous blogger who wrote one of the posts was Anne Streber, Whitley Streber's wife, who died of breast cancer. Whitley Streber is a high-profile ufologist who had experiences with ETs near his cabin in Pine Bush, New York. The film Communion with Christopher Walken is about Whitley. Several famous songs, some very old, seem to be about Sirius, with lyrics about a star or a reference to the time of day that Sirius appears. Examples include The Impossible Dream, To Reach the Unreachable Star, To Follow That Star, Jimmy Cricket's When You Wish Upon a Star, Over the Rainbow, Someday I'll Wish Upon a Star, and The Star-Spangled Banner, At the Dawn's Early Light. The song refers to really one star. The EarthSky.org site explains, after Orion first appears at morning dawn, you can count on Sirius to appear in the morning sky. In 2012, I noticed actor Daniel Radcliffe's photo on a poster promoting a Harry Potter film. The poster was printed for the South American market. It was a close-up of his head and shoulders, and in the foreground, he was holding his hands together to form a triangle with his thumbs and forefingers. The gesture roughly forms an equilateral triangle. Around the same time, I noticed a photo of Warren Buffett holding both of his hands in the same gesture at a reopening of Jay-Z's nightclub called 4040 in 2012. An entertainment reporter named AJ Calloway was also making the gesture. Several other celebrities were in the news making the same gesture, including Tom Cruise, Denzel Washington, and Kobe Bryant. I added Warren Buffett's photo to the show notes. I thought the shape represented the Sirius star constellation that is shaped like an equilateral triangle. Warren Buffett has been in the top five positions in the Forbes list of richest people in the world for the last 20 years. Bill Gates has been in the number one position for the same number of years. If you Google winter triangle photo, you can access images of a triangle formed by the stars Betelgeuse in the Orion constellation, Procyon in the Canis Minor constellation, and Sirius in the Canis Major constellation. I have not studied astronomy. I just know pieces of information. While researching information for this show, I remembered seeing a drawing of a triangle formed with two hands describing Alcyone. It was a New Age book called What is Light Body, channeled by Tashira Taki Ren, also known as Archangel Ariel, which means Lion of God. Lion deities date back to Mesopotamia. In our December 2020 podcast, I mentioned the Lamassu that has a human body and the head of a lion. In the July podcast, I mentioned that Amon, the head of the ancient Egyptian Ennead, is also known as Amen, Amon, or Ra. Amon means hidden one. Biblical god Yahweh is also intended to be hidden. The name is derived from the Hebrew letters YHWH, which were not supposed to be spoken. Author William Bramley, who wrote The Gods of Eden, explains that the names of the Mesopotamian deities do not exist in the Bible. Biblical authors changed the many gods of older Mesopotamian writers into one god or lord of the Hebrew religion. He says the change was an unfortunate one because it caused the supreme being to be blamed for the brutal acts described in the Bible. The book I read called What is Light Body mentions Alcyone many times. It is the brightest star in the Pleiades. I mentioned Pleiadians briefly in our podcast in March 2021 when I covered climate change stories. I said that the Pleiadians are considered a major race and that they were created by the Syrians. What I did not mention was that they were created as slaves. I believe actor Matt Damon is Pleiadian. Nick, in 2015, you sent a news story to DNNY members about a speech that Matt Damon read about civil disobedience. The speech was originally created in 1970 by an historian named Howard Zinn. Your news story contained a link to a YouTube video that did not stay on the web for very long. The news story headline called the speech shocking. Later, I will explain more details and why I think the video was quickly removed from the web. But first, more about the Silver Star. When I Googled Alcyone, Sirius, and Triangle, I found a New Age website created by a woman named Simone Matthews, whose site says that Alcyone, Sirius, and Earth are part of a triangle of energy that is part of a tetrahedron. In our series on nanotechnology, I explained that the tetrahedron is the simplest platonic solid. It looks like a three-sided pyramid. A two-dimensional image would look like a triangle. The same search returned images for sites with information about galactic astrology that have drawings of the dodecahedron and icosahedron. It appears that astrologers are being fed information about an artificial universe. In our podcast on nanotechnology, I mentioned that the dodecahedron and the icosahedron do not exist in nature. Getting back to evidence concerning the existence of Syrians and Sirius, Sirius XM Radio, headquartered in Midtown Manhattan, has a drawing of a dog as a logo with what looks like a star as an eye patch drawn on the left. The image has been added to the show notes. If you search for them, you can find photos of celebrities photographed with a hand or scarf over one eye, either the left or the right. I found actress Emma Watson, singer Lady Gaga, and a model on the cover of Foster and Kimberly Gamble's Thrive video, who has a bandage or ribbon covering one eye. I thought that there must be some meaning to the left or right eye, and I suspected that it had something to do with the all-seeing eye on our $1 bill, but I needed more dots to connect, and I've added those celebrity photos to the show notes. I found a helpful chapter from a 2005 book called Codex Magica by author Tex Mars on the Pleiadian Web Library site. The site is not easy to find because the web address is in Spanish. Listeners can access the library by typing Biblioteca Pleiades, spelled P-L-E-Y-A-D-E-S. When you get to the site, use the search function, which is a magnifying glass icon on the right edge of the screen. Type the name of a chapter called Cross Your Heart and Hope to Die. You'll see that the chapter has a tagline that says The Mysterious X Factor. Author Tex Mars does not really explain the X, but he has filled his chapter with a large number of famous people crossing their arms to form an X. He also includes a Freemason's line art drawing at the beginning of the chapter of a man crossing his arms. It was not until I found photos of three celebrities with a similar X gesture that I found more dots. I found photos of Mel Brooks, Martin Landau as Bela Lugosi, and Cheech Marin crossing their arms across their chest, Mel Brooks's photo is added to the show notes. It occurred to me that the arms across the chest is a position that the ancient Egyptian pharaohs were buried. I found an Egyptian tourist site that says pharaohs were buried with crossed arms in honor of Osiris. That was a big clue. I covered Osiris in the September and October podcast in 2020, and in the index I explained that he is the great-grandson in the ancient Egyptian Ennead, also known as Enki, Ea, Zeus, Poseidon, the biblical Abel, Odin, and many other names. The single eye in ancient Egypt was Horus that had falcon imagery. Both Enki and his son Thoth used the name Horus. Enki was Horus of Behdet, an ancient Egyptian city, Behdet, and Thoth was Horus, son of Isis. Because I'd found photos of three celebrities with crossed arms, I searched for more. I collected all kinds of cross-arm photos until I had about 300 in a folder.
Wow.
Not many had the Osiris pose. They were mostly just arms crossed in front of the body. Something seemed off because photographers do not usually like to photograph someone with crossed arms because it appears that the person is protecting themselves. A photograph of James Franco was a turning point. It was a promotional photo for the film 127 Hours. Separately, I had seen an article about performance art he did in Los Angeles in 2012 about Aleister Crowley. I also noticed a Wikipedia page titled Left Hand Path and Right Hand Path with a drawing of Eliphas Levi's Baphomet. In our podcast in September 2020, I explained that Aleister Crowley used the nickname Baphomet. The Wikipedia page did not provide any clear information, but I thought there were clues I had not yet pieced together. James Franco crossed arm pose showed his right hand tucked into his other arm at the elbow with the fingers of his left hand placed on his right arm, fingers showing. I decided to look through all of my photos for more, or more if necessary, for celebrities with the exact same pose. I found William Randolph Hearst, Bill Gates, and Prince Charles. However, I also found several famous people with the opposite pose, left hand tucked in at the elbow and fingers of the right hand placed on the left arm, fingers showing. It was clear that the fingers on the left pose was the world's most powerful people, probably Syrian. I thought that the others might be major race members. For example, Matt Damon, Leonard Nimoy, and DeForest Kelly have all been photographed with their fingers on the right. I started collecting the cross-arm photos in 2013, and by now I have more than 1,000. Most are fingers on the left that I think are Syrian. CEOs, top people in politics, in academia, in sports, in publishing, and also the entertainment business. At first, I thought I had a large group of fingers on the right, but later I found fingers on the left photos for the same people or family members, indicating that they belong to the fingers on the left group. For example, Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney were photographed with their fingers on the right, but they each have famous relatives who are not shy about posing with their fingers on the left. Bing's daughter Mary and his niece Denise Crosby have been photographed with their fingers on the left, implying Syrian. George Clooney, who is Rosemary Clooney's nephew, was photographed for the cover of Irish America magazine with what I believe is a Syrian pose. In 2015, Matt Damon read excerpts from a speech Howard Zinn wrote about civil disobedience. I found a news site created by a publicist named Eric Alper explaining that Matt Damon has been a lifelong friend of Howard Zinn and his family. The YouTube video was almost immediately edited and later disappeared. Here is the section that was removed. We should all work together as a team for the greater good, not as slaves, but as free people following the same purpose. I still have not figured out the left-right symbolism in photos of celebrities holding their hand or wearing a ribbon or fabric over one eye. Some cover the left and some cover the right eye. Emma Watson's covered left eye may be similar to the fingers on the left. In 2010, she was named the highest paid female actor, and in 2017, her name appeared on Forbes' highest paid actresses list. The model on the cover of the Thrive video representing Foster Gamble has her right eye covered. She may be a major race member. Lady Gaga is covering her right eye, and her career suggests that she is Syrian. In 2013, she topped Forbes' list of highest-paid celebrities under 30. She's also familiar with the ancient Egyptian religious themes. At a Grammy Awards in 2011, she was carried on stage in a large egg. In the July 2021 Connecting the Dots podcast, I mentioned that in ancient Egypt, Amun created an egg-shaped universe. Ancient Egyptian religious art is variously a winged egg or an egg surrounded by one or more serpents. From 1881 to 1900, a winged egg, which represents Amun, was used on the masthead of a journal called the Kenef, published by the Ancient and Primitive Rite of Masonry. The drawing is in the show notes. Before we move to our discussion, I would like to say that the secrets that have been covered in this presentation have reduced importance given our present circumstances. In March and April of 2020, we did a two-part podcast on artificial intelligence, and recently we did a three-part series on nanotechnology. There is evidence, particularly a rush toward nanomedicine that includes nanoparticles or nanorobots made with 45 different geometries, that we are in the midst of what author Nick Bostrom calls a singleton or AI takeover. I think that we're facing a phase-out of biological life. In the show notes, I've included a list of photos and drawings that are there. This particular presentation tonight, there's a lot of pictures. And I also included an addendum. For example, I mentioned a blog called Vigilant Citizen that has a very useful group of photos of a Masonic signal that appears in Duncan's Masonic Ritual and Monitor, available on Amazon, that includes the words of Freemasonry, showing a tucked hand gesture required to go through what is called the second veil. And there's portraits of George Washington, Stalin, Napoleon, and others with their hands tucked in their vest. So the Vigilant Citizen blog kind of helped me, and it confirmed that there is such a thing as gesturing between Freemasons. The other thing is that in the addendum, I mentioned that I had collected over 1,000 photographs, and tonight's presentation, there's just not enough time to cover some of them, but there's people like Meryl Streep, Bette Midler, and their daughters who are now old enough to be in the entertainment business, Mamie Gummer, who's appeared in a movie with her mother, and Sophie von Hasselberg is Bette Midler's daughter. Jane Fonda's autobiography, she has a Syrian crossed arm pose on the cover. John F. Kennedy in the official portrait that was painted posthumously, he has the Syrian cross arm photo. So and also some famous civil rights leaders, such as Jesse Jackson's son, Jr., and also Spike Lee, Sidney Poitier, Nat King Cole, and Denzel Washington. And finally, before we discuss this, I just want to mention that I also found a web radio show hosted by a man named Graham Duye, founder of InLight Web Radio, who interviewed an anonymous guest who called himself Hugh Mann. he had a lot to say about a migration of races who settled on Earth, and he mentioned that the Pleiadian names begin with the letter Z. So that might explain Howard Zinn. Anyway, that's it. That's how much I've put together for tonight.
Wow.
And I thought we could discuss some of this.
Wow, that's a lot you prepared, and it ties into a lot of what you've said before, as you pointed out. Basically, there are layers and layers and layers and layers of meaning, and if you have time this coming Thursday, I'm having on Olav Phillips. He's the publisher of Paranoia Press, which publishes books. They publish a magazine, and they have a podcast, and he published a book called Secret Ciphers of the UFO Nauts, which talks about how certain numbers and certain phrases are used by occult organizations to communicate with extraterrestrials and to exchange information with each other. So some of the things you mentioned, like with a silver star and so forth, those were also found inside the book. So it's really interesting how you're discovering these things on your own. But that might be a very interesting podcast to listen to. The book is wonderful. I'm reading the book now. Like, for instance, with the cat people or the lion people, they're there, and there are lion people incarnate on this earth or overshadowing mortals on the earth. I've tried to do shows over the years. I even started a group on Facebook called Lions of Olympus, Lyra, Sirius, Orion, and the Pleiades, to see how many I could draw out. There's like 20 people in the group, and there hasn't been much activity in the past 5 years. But I've had people on the show, too, who either knew about the lion men or were incarnate lion people. So that is very interesting, all the information that you revealed today. I was not aware of the pose, however, so now I'll start looking for it also. And with Orion and Canis Major, Orion wears a lion skin, as does Hercules in the artistic interpretation of the constellation. And he also carries a club, as does Hercules. So Hercules is like the solar Hercules, and Orion's like the lunar Hercules. And Orion had hunting dogs, which is why you have Canis Major and Canis Minor. And they don't really mean a lot in the Greek myths, but if you move over to like Phoenicia or Canaan, as it's called in the Bible, there that symbol starts taking up a lot of meaning, especially with things royal. So these symbols, yeah, they exist in different mythologies, but they also are found in various cultures. And the entire Mediterranean area, there was a lot of commerce, and there was a lot of exchange of ideas and culture. So often if you're studying one culture in isolation, even the biblical culture in isolation, the biblical documents in isolation, it doesn't yield you as much as studying the same symbols in the surrounding cultural milieus, where all of a sudden something that might not mean anything means a lot. And the island of Lemnos, where I'm from, where the Argonauts went and where the Amazons were, is where Prometheus stole the fire from heaven, and it's also where Orion went to get healed. So the island plays in a lot of these myths in interesting ways. And in its mythology, the soil of Lemnos had healing properties. So merchants used to sell soil of Lemnos to heal people with various ailments. And there were also hot springs devoted to Hephaestus, who's the fire god, the god of craftsmanship in Greek mythology. So again, all of these things have layers that echo to this very day in our modern mythologies, like a ufology, where the same beings that were being talked about in antiquity are still being talked about, and we're still wondering at their secrets.
You know, Nick and I both grew up as Catholics, and it was a shock to hear that the Vatican has that observatory in Arizona. I never heard about that until the last couple of years. Nick,
yes,
did you go to Catholic school?
Mary Jo, you're absolutely right, and I thought the exact same thing. It's a state-of-the-art facility. And you're thinking, exactly why are they doing that? And they've been doing that for a very long time. And I'm not aware that a lot of information is coming out of that that facility. It's just very interesting that they are doing, they're putting a lot of interest and money into that facility. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we can go into some very interesting possibilities of why they're doing that, which is a whole other program. I got to ask Hercules, for the Thursday night program you were mentioning, what's the time? What's the time window of that program, please?
The same as most nights. It's from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you. And Mary Jo, again, you have put on the table so many dots to connect that
yes.
it's incredible. And Hercules referenced that too. There's a few quick things I want to run by you. You said that in that ancient city that was thousands of years older than, Egypt, the Egyptians, you said they were pouring cement. And my question is, do you know why they would do that in an ancient site?
No, it was the article that in, I think it was 2018 on Ancient Origins website, it said that archaeologists all over the world were angry that that was happening. And there was no explanation given, but it was just being poured.
It's just one of those little things when you hear it and somehow it sticks and you're thinking, wait a minute, if it's an ancient site and so little has been discovered,
right,
why would they plow or seal anything? It just makes absolutely no sense. And I had to ask you that question. Also, your reference to the major stars of film, television, the singers, the best singers, certainly the most popular singers of our world. And they're all, I've seen those photographs where they're covering one eye, and you can't help but wonder, at least at the beginning, what is going on? There is something going on that most people aren't aware of, but you can't help but think, haven't I seen this 1,000 times before? The symbology, and you're referencing some very interesting things that I'd never heard of about crossing the arms and a little bit more about the meaning of that. That I did not know. That is quite interesting. I just wanted to comment on that.
You can look for it. As I mentioned to you when we talked recently, I notice it in the middle of a TV show. They've got their arms crossed like that. It's just something that I notice now because it's strange. You know, are they conscious of it? Do they just always just cross their arms that way? It's an odd thing to see.
Public people know very well that the way their facial movements are, the way they're posing, the way their body, that's all signals. That certainly is.
Oh, so you believe that they don't do it unconsciously. They're definitely doing it deliberately.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all part of, shall we say, the very, very private and exclusive club that we could do like 10 shows about that. That they are doing that for because they must do that, because they've been told to do that, because it's expected of them. And that's part of a very secret, highly secret and yet volatile culture, if for lack of a better word, that you're either in it or you're not. And if you're not in it, don't expect your career to go anywhere. If anything, you're going to have nothing to show for it. If you say yes and you take the pledge or whatever else they're doing, then you're going to get all the money and all the power you ever dreamt of. And there's so many examples of that. It's phenomenal. All that's in front of us. As you both have mentioned, and yet most people, 99.9, don't understand we're knee-deep in all this symbology everywhere.
Well, based on our three-part series on nanotechnology and even ancient nanotechnology that goes back to, stained glass windows in famous cathedrals.
That
blew me away. I have a suspicion that this stuff, you know, the symbolism and the secrets were instigated by artificial intelligence a long time ago. I mean,
I'm totally agreeing with you with there. I think that that's absolutely true. And in a lot of ways, we're just now stumbling upon this technology that really has been around for thousands, if not more, years.
Yes.
We're just beginning
now. They're so advanced. They're so far ahead that it does seem logical that this stuff, you know, and it, you know, Machiavelli wrote a treatise called The Prince, and it's about how rulers can control a population by setting one group against another.
Oh,
and
boy. Mm-hmm.
That seems to be a theme here. I mean, to have a secret organization, secret gestures that they make with either tucking their hand into their vest or the way that they cross their arms. You know, that sort of implies kind of a sort of a clique, you know, sort of an inner secret group. But that is, I think, a way to manipulate people.
Oh, that's an understatement. Absolutely understatement. It's a way to communicate that I am part of a very exclusive, a very, very powerful organization. And I'm a member of that. And
but look at our society. Yeah. They do it with race. They do it with gender. They do it with social and economic, dividing lines. You know, one group, politics, of course, and people fall into the trap constantly. You know, being manipulated with, you know, irritated and agitated about another group, and it's all probably because of, you know, these AI rulers, who knows who they are, that have been around for a very long time, controlling the planet. It sounds crazy,
No, it's not crazy at all. It's actually exactly what's going on. And the control, the total control of, and the aggressive, certainly in the last couple of years, aggressive use of very powerful forces to control even more is absolutely in play right now. Now, that's another program, but that is absolutely true. And it's not crazy at all. It's exactly what's going on. And I think civilizations should better wake up now before it's too late. And in some cases, it's like 55 on the clock. We have a very short time to wake up and really see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I think that the one way we can not fall into the trap is don't play the game.
They get excited, they get irritated by other groups. They just automatically, whether, you know, it's gender, race, economics, politics, people are constantly falling into that trap.
That's why we have to constantly stop it and not forget that I wrote something for the late Tim Beckley's, one of his last books, Alien Lives Matter. And I described some experiences I had during meditations that involved aliens of different types. And the message that kept coming is that we're inhuman or inhumane toward each other as long as we don't see each other as people. But once we start not looking at people as categories, but as individuals, and relate to them on that level, and realize that we're all the same on a spiritual level, then again, you can't be manipulated because you refuse to play the game. And if enough people refuse to play the game, they wouldn't try to manipulate us in that particular fashion.
That is true. I believe that's definitely true.
If you see people as your brothers and your sisters of part of an intergalactic family, if you really see that and in your heart you acknowledge that, how could you possibly do anything to hurt or kill?
Right.
You're right. You're right.
You wouldn't, because you understand how we are so connected on so many levels, and spiritually, just as neighbors, as friends, as relatives, on such levels that when you really understand that, Jesus and others who have come to us and tried to teach us what's right, it makes total sense. And embracing that, if we all did that, can you imagine what our planet would be like right now? Can you imagine? It would be paradise.
It would be paradise. It's
absolutely paradise. It would. There would be no hunger. There would be no homeless. People would not be, like you were saying before, in various camps. And there's a lot of very powerful people that want to keep us separated, and not only separated, but at war with each other. And that is a very aggressive and active thing going on now, and it's financed by trillions of dollars in power. And that is in play.
Because as long as groups that do not have power are fighting each other, it leaves those who have the influence and who want to manipulate in control. Because, again, you pit one group against another, and you weaken both so they can't focus on you and what you're doing.
Have you ever heard the expression divide and conquer?
Yes.
Well, there we go. That's exactly the game plan. That is exactly it. You divide, you weaken, and then you conquer, because now they are weak and divided and at war with each other. And that could be racially, that could be by countries, or that it could even be by planets.
And that's why a lot of what I do is called the Elysium Project. Elysium is the best heaven the human mind can conceive. And I feel personally that if we focus on doing that, on creating a better world for everybody, including all life on the planet and beyond it, to other planes, dimensions, and planets, then we won't fall into these traps, because we're here to create a heaven. We're not here to create hells or live in hells or to perpetuate other people's hells.
Yeah, absolutely true. And people need to come to realize that and work for the common good. And we can do that. We can achieve all of this. There's no reason in the world why we can't. The people that are against being together, the people are trying to separate, the people that are trying to do total control. And that is going on right now, at this very second. And there's a lot of information and facts, total hard facts that prove that. And once you get into that and understand that, it actually becomes quite visible. And you can see almost all of a sudden clearly that you could not see before. Remember that wonderful film where someone puts certain glasses on and the billboards that look like it was for a vacation, and the billboards say, obey? I can't remember that. Maybe Hercules or Mary Jo, do you remember that movie?
Was it It or Them or something like that?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Powerful movie that was, boy. And you know what? How true it is. It was light years ahead of its time. And also,
so it was like a subliminal message. Is that it? A subliminal?
Yeah.
In other words, it was subliminal. Subliminal, but it would have a very powerful effect on people, because they wouldn't be aware of what was being transmitted to them. It was an incredible film. And by the way, you mentioned the Jim Carrey movie. That was a brilliant, brilliant movie. And again,
Wasn't it
way ahead of its time.
I think so. It was 1998. That's how long ago that was.
It was called They Live, the one with the glasses.
Oh, thank you. Yes, that's right. Thank you. Right. And that, I want to see that again. And I also want to see the Jim Carrey movie again, because, boy, that spoke volumes. And it's never been more relevant than right now. You know, and you have to identify your enemies. You have to identify what is hurting us all, and then try to figure out how we can stop that and achieve what we should be doing, which is working for a common good for humanity, and to really make this world, make this planet the planet it should be. not the planet that it is now, and it's getting worse. There's more threats of the EMP bomb, the electric bomb, nuclear destruction. It's never been more evident than right now. I hate to say that, but I have to, because it's there.
It does feel dark. I think it feels dark right now, unfortunately. It feels kind of dark.
You also, okay. Hercules, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts aren't going to fit in 5 minutes, which is how much we have. So this is going to be continued. It's a big topic.
It is.
Before I hand the show to you guys so that you guys can share your contact information and your show that you do on the channel, I'm starting with Zoom this month. So talked to Nick about it a little bit. Mary Jo talked to you about it, I guess, in an email or a little later. But if you guys would like your show moved to Zoom, let me know. And this is one of the first shows I'll move over to Zoom.
Nick and I talked about it, and I'm going to need to find a new table, to fit my computer as well as my notes. I looked at it today, and I'm going to need something a little larger because I can't fit everything, with the addition of a computer.
Okay, no rush. Whenever you're ready, just let me know. And also, I'm devoting more time to extraterrestrials and ultra-terrestrials and other dimensional beings and so forth.
Fantastic.
So I'm going to have panels, and both of you are invited to those panels.
Count us in. Count me in. Yeah,
okay.
Sounds great.
And now share your information, because you're awesome and people should be able to find you.
Okay, if I could say that if you have any comments or questions for either Mary Jo or myself, we'd be delighted if you would communicate that. You can do that by putting that information on my email, and I will get it to Mary Jo if it's addressed to her, or I'll take care of it if it's addressed to me. My email address is nicknyny1, and the one is the numeral. @gmail.com. Again, Nick, NYNY1, @gmail.com. There you go.
Thank you so very much. Like I said, you're awesome, and I'm looking forward to our further adventures down the line. Would either or both of you like to close with a short statement for our listeners?
Keep your eyes open. You're not being a conspiracy theorist. You're simply investigating what reality is all about. And don't let anyone tell you that if you think for yourself and you're a conspiracy theorist, that is a tool to make you stop thinking on your own. Don't go there. Never accept that. And also trust your intuition and your gut feelings, because chances are you are absolutely on target. Mary Jo?
I like that. No, I second you, Nick. That's great. You couldn't have put it better. That's really, really great.
That's from the heart. That's from the heart. And I think that's very useful, especially now.
I agree.
Mary Jo, I just want to make one comment, and that is, Mary Jo, all your research and all the programs we have done, I haven't mentioned this to you before, but you have enough material, incredible material for a book.
Yes.
We've been doing this now for a year and a half, and it's a lot of pages. We have compiled a lot of information. Incidentally, I've indexed everything because I can't find, myself. I think, I'm
right.
doing the research and I'm thinking, I mentioned that. Which podcast did I mention that in? So I took the time to index everything.
I think you got a book that's already there. Right, you're agreeing with me, Hercules, correct?
Yeah, yes. Take it, put it all together, start organizing it a little tighter and polish it up, and you got a great book.
Oh, thank you.
You do.
Yeah, it's a
very,
huge
very relevant
amount of information.
And, go ahead.
It's just a lot of information.
It is, but it's information that people need to know, and you've done the research, and it's I'll have to say this, it's brilliant. and people need and deserve to have this information. So you'd be doing a public service to publish this book, and I really encourage you.
I encourage you, too, and I agree. We have a few seconds left. Thank you again.
Thank you, Hercules.
And be well until next time. Take care.
You, too. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Much love to all. Bye-bye.
You, too. Bye now.